This program is made possible by the members of the Church Street Baptist Church in Greensboro, North Carolina.
I want you this morning to go to the book of Jeremiah in the Old Testament, chapter number 19. And I want to answer a question this morning. What happened to the potter's vessel? Jeremiah chapter number 19, we're going to look in verse number 1. If you don't have a Bible, right there in front of you is a Bible. And you can look along in Jeremiah chapter number 19. The Bible says in verse number 1, still here pages, so I'm not going to rush off and leave you. I'll let you find it, because I want you to notice a few things. Jeremiah 1, chapter 19, verse 1. Thus saith the Lord, go and get a potter's earthen bottle, and take of the ancients of the people, and of the ancients of the priests, and go forth unto the valley of the son of Hinnom, which is by the entry of the east gate, and proclaim there the words that I shall tell thee. So he takes this, he goes down to the potter's house, it says, and he gets the potter's earthen bottle. It's a vessel. And he takes the vessel along with the elders of the people and the elders of the priests, those people that are in charge, and he puts the vessel up under his arm. And where does he go? Well, in verse number 6, we see that therefore, behold, the days come, the Lord says, that this place shall no more be called Tophet, nor the valley of the son of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter. He goes and takes these people, and he takes this potter's vessel, and he takes them down to a place called Tophet, which is outside. You go out of the east gate of the walls of Jerusalem, and you go south to where the Tyropian Valley and this valley of Hinnom meet together in a fountainhead. And at that fountainhead is a place called Tophet. And there Jeremiah is going to do something with this vessel. And he tells us that in verse number 10. In verse 10, God tells Jeremiah, then thou shalt break the bottle in the sight of the men that go with thee, and shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord, even so will I break this people and this city as one breaketh a potter's vessel that cannot be made whole again. And they shall bury, say that with me, bury them where? They're going to bury them where? Tophet. They're going to bury them where? Tophet. They're going to bury them where? Tophet. Now look, I have a severe case of ADD. If I linger on something three times, you know we're going to come back to that and it means something. So God takes Jeremiah and he says, Jeremiah, I want you to take this potter's vessel. Now listen, I've been reading through Jeremiah in my own time and I've been going slowly through it. I read a little bit every day, a chapter or something like that. And I came across chapter number 18 the other day. And we've all heard messages out of chapter number 18. How that the potter went down to the dirt and got him a clump of dirt, took the dirt back to the house and made them a vessel on the wheel. And you've all heard the preachers get up and say, "Whoa! Thank God he came down and got me out of the dirt, put me on the wheel, and he made me." And then it says in Jeremiah 18, and the vessel was marred in the hands of the potter, and the pottery fell in. And we've all heard preachers say, "Glory to God, when I messed up, the potter kept on a making." I could preach there. But here is my question. I'd never paid attention to chapter number 19. I just figured that potter kept that vessel in that house for the rest of his days, and it just was a happy little vessel living in a happy little house doing happy little pottery things. But that's not the case, because in chapter 19 we find that Brother Jeremiah, the prophet of God, goes down to that potter's house and he gets the potter's bottle or the vessel, and he takes a group of people, the leaders of the city, and they go down to Tophet, and there he breaks the vessel in their sight. And God is showing through Jeremiah, this city will be destroyed, this nation will be destroyed, and as I broke this vessel, I'm going to break you asunder. So ladies and gentlemen, here is my question. He broke that vessel, and it seems so out of place that God would allow a vessel that he spent so much time making, and God took a vessel that he spent so much time and effort in, and he just breaks it, and he leaves it there. But ladies and gentlemen, as Paul Harvey, half of y'all don't even know who Paul Harvey is. Some of you old people know, as Paul Harvey used to say, page two, here is the rest of the story. Because in this potter's vessel, in chapter number 19, we're going to find what happens to the potter's vessel. You know, I could call this message a lot of things. I could call this the God of second chances. I could call this the God of third chances. I could call this message the God of fourth chances. I could call this message, I don't know, the God of uno chances, the God of dos chances, the God of tres chances, the God of siete chances, the God of seis chances, the God of cinco chances, God of ocho chances, God of diez chances, the God of all those chances. I could name it though. Y'all don't get my humor. Y'all are going to have to help me or I'm leaving. I'm telling you, I ain't doing this again. I'm walking out and going to KNW. Here's what I'm trying to say. I could name this message. It could be the God that never forgets. It could be the God that doesn't throw pieces away. It could be the God that doesn't throw the clay away. It could be the God that keeps on doing. It could be the God that never stops doing. It could be the God that never wants to give up. It'd be the God that never wants to give in. It'd be the God that never forgets. It'd be the God that never stops forgiving. He'd be the God that can always fix it. I'm telling you, this message could be anything, but I think I'll stay with what happened to the potter's vessel. I want to give you 3 points. Go to the house, because I can tell y'all are eating this up this morning. Number one, I want to talk to you about the maker of the vessel. Look back in verse number 1 of chapter number 19. Here's what it says. Thus saith the Lord, Jeremiah, go down and get a potter's earthen bottle. Ladies and gentlemen, what you need to understand about this vessel right here is it didn't just pop up out of nowhere. This vessel had a maker. This vessel had somebody that went and got it. This vessel had somebody that molded it. This vessel had somebody that made it. This vessel had somebody who could see through what it did look like into what he wanted it to look like. I'm telling you, this vessel, it did not just appear. It did not come from a monkey. It did not come from a baboon. It did not come from an orangutan. This came from a maker's hands. This came from a manufacturer. If that makes you uncomfortable, hold on. You're going to get real uncomfortable before this whole thing's over with. It came from somebody's intelligence and somebody's initiative. Somebody had to go get that thing. Somebody had to put that thing together. Somebody had to have knowledge and wisdom. Do you know where you came from and I came from? I'm not just talking about in our creation. I'm talking about in our salvation. That pottery was a piece of dead, doorknob dead, nail dead. Piece of dirt. All dirt's dead. Red dirt's dead. Purple dirt's dead. Blue dirt's dead. Green dirt's dead. Magenta dirt's dead. Violet dirt's dead. It's all dead. But you know what happened? That potter went down into that dead dirt and he picked it up from where it was and took it to where he was. Well, glory. He went down to where it was, took it out of where it was, and took it to where he was. And you know what he did? He got in there and he took that dead ball of dirt and he threw it down on the potter's vessel. And do you know what he did? He took his hands, his powerful hands, his holy hands, his omnipotent hands, his wise hands, his good hands, his touching hands, his sweet hands, his making hands, his marvelous hands, his, Lord God have mercy, it's his hands. It's the same hand that formed a ball of dirt called earth, and it's the same hand that formed a pot of clay. Let me just take a little time out and run a rabbit right here. How many of you remember when you were just an old dead piece of dirt out in the muck and mire of sin, and the good pottery maker of heaven came to where you were, picked you up out of a quagmire of sin, set your foot, good God, on the solid rock and made you into something. Now watch this. I'm going somewhere. So just hold on. Do you know what that is? That has 2 elements in it. Number one, dirt. Number two, thank you, water. I was hoping somebody would catch on. Agua, H2O, Wawa, it's water. Ladies and gentlemen, do you know how you got saved? God went down to dirt, a type of man, picked that dead dirt up and took it back to where he was making and forming. And then he took water, wawa, agua, which is a type of the Word of God and the Holy Ghost of God. And when the Holy Ghost, that water, hit that old dead dirt pottery, you know what happened? It became something. It became pliable. It became moldable. It became usable. It became something. Do you know how I got saved? I didn't get saved by going down into baptistry. I didn't get saved by joining a church. I didn't get saved by driving a Toyota or a Cadillac. I didn't get saved by putting money in an offering plate. I didn't get saved by sitting on a padded chair. I didn't get saved by listening to a preacher. I got saved the day that the good Holy Ghost of God arrested my soul in captivating love, pulled me up out of the pit of sin, and put the Holy Ghost in me. And they, Romans 8, that have the Spirit have life. Now watch this. You ready? You know what happens after a piece of pottery gets formed and fashioned? Do you know where it has to go next? The fire. It's called a kiln, an oven. But there ain't no other way to put it. It's fire. You Yankees, it's fire. You rednecks, it's far. And it goes in there, and I was studying pottery the other day, and when I saw this, honey, I cut a holy jig in my little study at my house, Brother Bob. I found out in that, do you know what fire does to a piece of pottery? It hardens it. But do you realize that that fire never touches that dirt? That fire never messes with that dirt? Do you know how that dirt goes from soft to hard? Here's what happens. You remember, mixed inside of that dirt is wawa, agua, H2O, water. You know what happens? That fire, it doesn't hit that dirt, that water that is mixed in with that pottery. It takes that fire and it begins to God in heaven, it begins to evaporate off. And the evaporation process that melts out of that dirt, that's what hardens this pot. It's because the water takes the brunt of the fire. The water takes the brunt of the judgment. The water is what takes and makes that pot into something new. Here's what I'm trying to tell you. Fire in the Bible is a type of judgment. And when the fire of God's judgment hits me, it does not hit me. You know what it hits? It hits the Lord Jesus Christ upon Calvary's cross. All the judgment of God was laid on his back. All the punishment of God was laid on Jesus. And because he took my punishment, I was made from this into this. Now I'm going somewhere. So number two, you ready for this? Bless you. Number two, the maker of the vessel. Number two, the marring of the vessel. You see, God made Israel and God made the believer. God called Israel out and God called the believer out. But here's what happened to Israel. They went wayward on God. And I'm going to tell you something. There are so many of us that have gone wayward on God. We've gotten out, we've messed up, we've fallen short, we've done what we wanted, went where we wanted, said what we wanted, acted how we wanted. And God looked at Jeremiah, he said, I'll tell you what. You go down to that house and you get that vessel that was made for me and go down to Tophet. And down in Tophet, I want you to take everybody so they can see it. And I'm going to break that piece of pottery. He said, you take it down there for everybody to see. And in their sight. The word break in verse number 10. It means shatter in pieces. It means shatter in 1,000 pieces. Some of you, this is what your life looks like right now. Some of you, this is what the decisions have led you to. This is what you look like. This is where your sin got you. This is where your lust got you. This is where your alcohol got you. This is where everything you've done got you. This is your turning away from God got you. This is where not listening to that preacher got you. This is where walking out got you. This is where you quit that job got you. This is where you are. You're just a... Some of you come in today. Family invited you. You know what I find about broken things? There's very little way to hide brokenness. Oh, it's easy to hide cracks, but it's impossible to hide brokenness. By some of the teenagers that hear me preach, sit there like this. They're broken. Families in pieces. Ma'am, that's why you sit there and hold every tear back you can, because you're broken. You know, I was writing something down the other day about this brokenness. Brother Bob, you know what I was thinking? What caused that thing to be broken? Sin. You know, we don't like to think about it. We don't like to talk about it. We don't like to deal with it. We want to point at somebody else. We want to point at them. But you realize the problem at the root of every one of our issues is sin. Running through our veins right now. You say, I didn't mess up. No, but you have. I didn't do it. No, but you did. I didn't make... Yeah, but... God said, the day you sin, you will surely die. You know, if I could draw some of your hearts, it would just be the soft version of that. Preacher, why did God break me? You didn't listen to him when you were a whole pot, did you? I didn't. You didn't. It wasn't until God raised me up above his head and boom, shattered me, that I started saying, God, I'm a mess. Now, Nolan, will you help me? Just get the big pieces up, because I'm getting ready to cut me a holy jig, son. And when I cut me a holy jig, I don't want to, just the big sharp ones. Elijah, will you help Nolan right quick? Because I want to give you number three. Don't worry about them little pieces, just the big ones that would cut me open. Because y'all know I have a tendency to, you know Murphy's Law? If it can go bad, it will go bad. Murphy was my uncle. Just the big ones, right? Y'all don't have to get them all up under the chair. Let me see. That's pretty good. That's good, Elijah. That's good, Nolan. Okay. I want to talk to you, number three, about the miracle. I want to talk to you about the miracle. Thanks, boys. Just keep those for souvenirs. I want to talk to you about the miracle. The Bible says that in verse number 10 and verse number 11, he said, I'm going to break you. And then I'm going to leave you. And some people in here today, some of the people that watch online, some of the people that will see this on TV next week, they say, I feel like God has left me alone. He shattered me, then he left me. Time. Most of my counseling deals with people saying, why'd God do that to me? So let me help counsel somebody. God didn't do that to you. You did it to you, and I did it to me. God abandoned me. Well, he may have left you alone, but he hadn't abandoned you. Remember, where did Jeremiah break that piece of pottery? Tophet. Where did God break that piece of pottery? Tophet. Where did God break that piece of pottery? Tophet. Do you know what Tophet was? The word Tophet, in the Hebrew, it means the place of burning. And what Tophet was is where the people of Israel would sacrifice their children to Molech. They would take their babies, throw them in the fire. Molech was a bull god. He would sit on a throne, and his mouth was open, and his arms were raised up like this, and he was made out of gold or brass. And they would put the babies on the arms of that thing and would offer it to Molech, and that baby would roll down into the heart, the fire that was in the belly through the mouth. Watch this. God put up with their idolatry. God put up with their witchcraft. But the moment they began sacrificing their own children, God said, done. Through. You have shed innocent blood. You know what I'm telling you about this nation? I love America. I got red, white, blue running through me. But God will not destroy us because we've taken money. God's going to take care of us because of what we've done to our children, our babies. Those abortion mills and stuff like that, they're godless, they're murder. And I promise you one day God himself will repay this nation for every drop of blood that's been spilled by Planned Parenthood, by this or that. I don't care who it is. I don't care what your political views are. I am old-fashioned Bible, and God said those are his babies. They belong to the Lord. They're not mine. They're not yours. I'm just telling you, God hates the shedding of innocent blood. And that's what Tophet was. God said, I'm going to annihilate it. So what did he do? He annihilates it. I've got a map, Kim. I want to show you where Tophet is in Jerusalem. Do you see where that big red X is, bottom right-hand side of your screen? If you see it, nod your head. See where that is? Okay. That map right there, that is a first century map. That means that's what Jerusalem looked like when Jesus was there. Okay? But when Jeremiah was there, it did not look like that. Where that red X is, see that red X? That's now inside the walls in Jesus' day. But Herod the Great is the one that built those walls. When Jeremiah wrote, that X was outside the walls because he was living in the walls of King Hezekiah. Remember, where did he break that pot? Tophet. Where did he break that pot? If you find, look in your Bible, you'll never see again that somebody visits Tophet. The word Tophet's never remembered. The word Tophet's never mentioned again that somebody goes there. The word Tophet's never talked about again, Brother Bob. So here's the question that I have. How in the world can there be a miracle with this broken piece? And that's what I'm asking some of you today. How in the world is this going to be fixed? You know, most preachers, this is what they do. So I'll do the best I can. I'll see if I can't make you feel better. Hold that, brother. It's just too much on me. I can't do it all. Now, I think this could... No. Well, you know, maybe you need to see somebody else. Maybe they can help you. You know what? I'll send you to the doctor. He's got some stuff he can give you. Yeah, this'll work. Yeah, this is gonna work. And you get back to your house and you put a little pressure on it, you know what it does? But do you remember what I said this message could be called? The God of second chances. The God of third chances. The God that doesn't forget. Because while Tophet is never mentioned again, that place right there is mentioned again. One time in the New Testament in one location, and it's visited by one man. That same exact spot in the New Testament, it's not called Tophet. It is a little place inside of the walls of Jerusalem called Siloam. And there is a pool there called the Pool of Siloam. So if you take your Bible right now and fast forward to John chapter number 9, I want to show you what happens. There's only one incident that happens at the Pool of Siloam in chapter number 9 of the book of John. Because while there is no miracle with that pot in the Old Testament, because what happens? That pot is forgotten, and that piece is forgotten, and those shards are forgotten. But here's what happened. God lets that dirt grow up around it, and those little pieces like that are done away with. But what you've got to realize is down here, while you probably can't see it, do you know what's left after I take up all these big pieces? There's dust. John chapter number 9, we read of Jesus going to a place near the pool of Siloam, which is a little place called Tophet in the Old Testament. And there at the pool of Siloam, he meets a blind man, a man that is blind from birth, a man that has been blind from the day he came out of his mama's womb. And the disciples look at him and they say, Jesus, tell us, was this guy at fault for being blind, or was it his mama and his daddy's fault? Jesus said, son, he said his mama wasn't at fault, he wasn't at fault, but I did that so that I could work the works of him that has sent me, because the night cometh when no man can work. I must work those works of him that sent me. And there is that blind man. And along about verse number 4, verse number 5, or verse number 6 in the book of John, you see what Jesus does. Do you know how Jesus healed that man that was blind? Let's take our little minds and go back to Sunday school and remember how it is that Jesus healed that man that was blind. He went to where he was because that man could not get to where he was. He went and found that brother because that brother couldn't find him. He went and got that boy because that boy couldn't go get him. He went and hunted him down because that boy could never hunt down Jesus. He went searching for that guy because that guy could never find him. He went and laid eyes on that man because that man could never lay eyes on him. He went looking for him, honey, when that man could not go looking for Jesus. And you know what Jesus did? Jesus knelt down by that guy and he said, sir, are you blind? He said, I am blind. He said, I have nobody that can touch me. He said, why have you come here? He said, I've come here hoping that somebody will heal me. And you know what Jesus does? I'm going to get on this side so you can see me. You know what Jesus does? Jesus kneels down beside. You realize Jesus never asked him to get up. Jesus got down where he was at. Jesus didn't want him to go up to where Jesus was. Jesus said, I'll get down there and I'll pick you up and take you where I am. This is what I'm trying to tell you. You got to stop trying to clean yourself up and just throw yourself into the arms of the good God of eternity and let him do the cleaning up. You say, I cannot pray like that. I cannot do like that. I will never. You don't have to do like one day. In around 31 AD, a man reached down and he took some spit. And he spit on that dirt and he took his hands and started molding that dirt. I know I got a wild imagination, but just go with me here. I can't help but wonder if that dirt didn't say something like this. My God, I recognize those hands. I feel like those hands have touched me before. I feel like those hands have molded me before. I feel like those hands have been around where I am before. And I believe that dirt probably said, Lord God in heaven, that's the same set of hands that brought me out of nothing. That's the same set of hands that made me what I was. That's the same set of hands that put life in me. That's the same set of hands that helped me. Those are the creating hands of Almighty God. Those are the curing hands of Almighty God. Those are the caring hands of Almighty God. Those are the compassionate hands of Almighty God. Those are the caressing hands of Almighty God. Those are the crucified hands of Almighty God. Those are the conquering hands of Almighty God. And very soon, child of God, the same hands that reached down in that dirt, he's going to let out a shout, and not only will they be the creating hands, not only will they be the curing hands, not only will they be the compassionate hands and the crucified hands, but the conquered hands, they're going to be the coming hands, because he's going to raise his hands up in the heaven, and with a shout and the trumpet blast of eternity, he'll say, come up hither. And you know what's going to happen? Dead dirt that got mixed in with living water is going to rise up off of this ground and meet the Lord in the air, and I'm going to cut a somersault as I dance across the Milky Way, as I tiptoe across the stars. I'm going to say, I'm glad one day dead dirt found out that living water can give life and salvation and peace. Ladies and gentlemen, God will not throw you away. Man, I want to go to one of them churches and wear shorts in. It's hot. Here's my third point. You know what that teaches me? God doesn't forget. God will forgive. But number three, most of all, God will fix. God will fix. Scott, I'm done. I told the prayer service Wednesday night. I was up at Hanging Rock. When I go to Hanging Rock, I have to come back down through Danbury, and I come back down through Walkertown. And Erica's sister's buried in Walkertown. And I went by the graveside. I tried to go by there and looked at her tombstone. looked at the bench they put there for her. Couldn't really talk to her. You know, you can't communicate with her. She's already in heaven. But it's times like this I go back and I think, I don't know if she would have listened. I don't think she would have. For some reason, she would listen to me, though. She wouldn't listen to her mom or her daddy. She wouldn't listen to Erica, but she would listen to me. You know, one of the regrets of my life, Corey, I wish I would have told her, you know, Jesus can fix what's wrong. I wish I'd have told her that. I don't know if she listened. I wish I'd have told her Jesus can fix what's wrong. No, he can't fix, preacher. Really? You're telling me a man that can spit in mud and make a blind man see can't fix what's going on with you? You say, I don't believe it. Help yourself. I found it to be true. I found it to be true. You say that's opposite of science. I'm pretty sure it's your logic that's gotten you in the mess you're in right now. I'm pretty sure about that. But a man with nail-pierced hands that paid your debt for you, through life, on dead dirt, he can fix it. He can fix it. Boys, he can fix it. Sarah, he can fix it. Ma'am, he can fix it. You know, I was this little broken pot, shattered, battered, bruised. Pieces everywhere. But God.